One of the most significant books I read in my undergraduate studies began with this sentence: "The world is not made up of islands." I will never forget "The world is not made up of islands" because our first class assignment was to memorize it. My professor, German de Sassa, required every student in his introduction to education class to read this book and memorize the first sentence: "The world is not made up of islands." Now, my not quite fully formed 20-year-old brain thought this sentence made no sense. Why would Dr. de Sassa make us memorize this seemingly untrue statement? The world is made up of humongous islands. After all, Australia, a continent, is an island. What is this book talking about? Frustrated, I put the book down. If a book cannot even speak truthfully about how our world is geographically situated, then it is certainly not worth my time, I thought. But having memorized the sentence and not completed the reading, I sauntered into the next class meeting not knowing what to expect. German, as his students call him, taught education at Presbyterian College for almost 30 years. He doesn't teach in a lecture style. He instead teaches through proverbs from his native Ethiopia. Our class time on that day, I did not complete the reading, began with German saying, "The world is not made up of islands." And when you realize this, dear students, you will have all the tools you need to teach, provide medical care, litigate in court, preach the gospel, or run a business. However, until you realize this, you will be the person for whom the Ethiopian proverb was written: "You can't spit on my back and make me think it's rain." When I walked into that classroom, I was a privileged kid from a nice family in a small town who had never faced the reality of a global society. I had never really known freedom because I was brought up in a cycle full of ought-tos and should-to declarations that are so prevalent in our daily rhetoric. The opening sentence of that book, which I had put down because, although it's technically inaccurate, totally changed my worldview. It opened my eyes to see that I am just one small part of a large global community. My world, my connections, my family, my circles of influence are all just one small concentric circle wrapped up within billions of other concentric circles that make up the collection of connective tissues we call planet Earth. The world is truly not made up of islands, and it became my task to discover the essence of who I was, even as a wild and woolly 20-year-old college sophomore, and in that discovery, discover the true freedom we know in Jesus Christ. I believe that experiences like the one I had in German's classroom many years ago are the intended outcome of the interaction between Matthew's devil character and Jesus immediately following his baptism at the beginning of his earthly ministry. The devil takes Jesus on a whirlwind tour of places and situations that show Jesus the literal and figurative heights of being God with us. During his earthly ministry, Jesus was assumed by many to be a king or a ruler with the authority to match. And so the writer of the Gospel of Matthew, their particular purview as someone speaking to a mostly Jewish audience, puts a focus on this presumption, since the Messiah in Jewish teaching is the king who has not yet come. The kingship of Jesus is an important facet of this story, since the devil character uses it to perpetuate Jesus' otherness from the rest of humanity. Jesus is a little bit different than you or me. However, Jesus reverses the roles on this tempter. Jesus rebuts every display of earthly power with the liberating power of what the 18th and 19th century theologian Friedrich Schleiermacher calls absolute or total dependence, utter dependence on God. Every place the devil takes him, Jesus de-emphasizes his high and worthy status and simply emphasizes the necessity to be completely and utterly dependent on God. Our Lord found freedom from the tempter's snare in the simplicity of absolute dependence on God. No parlor tricks, no theological gymnastics, just the freedom of saying one does not live by bread alone. What freedom we find when we face life's dangers, toils, and snares with the everlasting knowledge that we are all utterly dependent on God. And God returns that utter dependence with abiding presence and never-ending relationship. The world is not made up of islands. We are all connected, and this freedom points us to the radical reality that God is right alongside us with every step we take. For Jesus, utter dependence or holistic necessity for God's gift of relationship is not about the prizes or accolades that comes along with the status of being God's beloved. Jesus shows us in today's passage that true freedom, holy liberation, is not populistic pronouncements of faithfulness or pseudo-pietistic popularity polls that attempt to determine who among us is the most faithful. Indeed, that book from my sophomore year of college is true. The world is not made up of islands. We are all interconnected because we are all created and loved by God. And that frees us to be exactly who God created us to be, nothing more, nothing less. That's another type of freedom, holy freedom, which is eternal relationship with our Creator. And it fuels our daily living. Discovering anew the freedom we find in Christ Jesus, that is to be utterly dependent on God, is one of the most profound opportunities given to us in our Christian journey. The 20th century pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes of freedom in a sermon. He says, "In the language of the Bible, freedom is not something humanity has for ourselves, but something we have for others. No person is free as such as that is in a vacuum, in the way that they may be musical or intelligent. Freedom is not a quality which can be revealed. It is not a possession, a presence, or an object. Nor is it a form of existence, but a relationship and nothing else." In truth, he continues, freedom is a relationship between two persons. Only in relationship with the other am I free. Bonhoeffer's writing becomes a mirror for our journey as a people of faith, and I contend a mirror for your journey as First Presbyterian Church. Remember what he writes: freedom is not a possession, a presence, or an object. It is a relationship between two persons. God has given you, friends, a holy opportunity to discover your own sense of freedom, to be a community not for yourselves, but for the other. And you know what? Your assets are mighty. You are a group of highly committed and faithful Presbyterians, which means you care first for the community. You have an amazing history that can be leveraged as you consider where the Spirit is leading you in your future ministries. Ministries that you or I, we can't even imagine right now, but God is already planning for them. So friends, live into that freedom, not for yourselves, but for the other. Continue to grow your connections in the community through your Matthew 25 ministry. Open your doors to whomever wants to come inside, regardless of who they are, what they do or don't believe. Be the people of God who have the freedom to say we are utterly, totally, completely dependent on God. And we're listening for God's next move in our lives. So come join us as we ask deep questions, joyfully serve together, and worship God in amazing ways. Indeed, when you do this, you are living into the freedom Christ shows us when facing the devil's temptation to be grandiose and on top of the world. Instead, we are called to be simple in our actions and to remember that radical love is our currency. You know, there's no transaction in God's ongoing creative activity. There is only love when you live into the radical freedom for the other. Southminster Presbyterian Church is a small congregation in Boise, Idaho. Their congregation saw so many Idahoans suffering under the weight of massive medical debt. Realizing that, several church members came to their church's session and their church's pastor with an idea to find a way that might wipe out medical debt for a few of Boise's most marginalized people. The Southminster session discerned that this was a valuable way to be present for someone else and invited any other churches in the Presbytery of Boise to join. Several did, and their collective gift of $15,000 wiped out $1.6 million of medical debt for 971 Idahoans through a nonprofit called RIP Medical Debt, which buys debt bundles and relieves them for marginalized Americans. Southminster's former pastor, Marcy Glass, suggests that to have a project you can tangibly see the results of is a nice change for nonprofits and for churches. So that feels good. Southminster caught on to the freedom for the other we find when we are indeed utterly, totally, completely dependent on God. And they understood their responsibility as a people called to care deeply for those whose backs were forced upon the wall by the crushing weight of medical debt. You know what? I believe this is where holy freedom for the other, that gift Christ gave to us that we freely share with the world, can take us. It can push us towards the intersection of church and the deep needs of our community. It could push us to uncomfortable places. Yet, the world is not made up of islands. We are all connected because we have been set free to be utterly dependent on God and totally focused on our community. So this week, I invite you to think of freedom not as a gift from God that can be used to isolate yourself from the world around you, but to instead see freedom as a gift from God to be understood in the context of communion with another person and the entirety of God's creation. You know, there's a hymn in our hymnal that says, God delights when we are creators of justice. And God delights when we are creators of the way of peace, when we work with God to create peace, the peace that God showed us in the person of Jesus when faced by the tempter's delusions of grandeur. God is calling us out of our built-up walls of isolation and into deep, abiding, caring, loving relationship with every single corner of God's ongoing creation that is so firmly and eternally rooted in love. And it's in that love we find freedom. And in that freedom, we joyfully perform the life-giving work of ministry. In gratitude to the God who created us, all of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.